So you may have noticed that our world is filled with a lot of noise. From the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, there's constant stimulation. And so one of the practices that I've implemented into my own life is I begin each day with silence for about 10 to 15 minutes. It's something that's taken me years to acquire, years to shut the noise off in my own head. So each morning before we open up the scriptures together, I'm just going to invite you to join me in a few moments of silence. We're not going to go 15 minutes because I don't know how many could handle that. But we are going to take just a few seconds. And I think that God can say more to you in 30 seconds of silence than I can say to you in 30 minutes of speaking. So just let's take a moment and quiet our hearts and minds before our Creator. Amen. I'm fascinated with human behavior, culture, and I've noticed there is a shifting of collective human behavior. I read an article that was released, I think it was by the FAA, on airline disruptions. And in the year 2019, the FAA reported that there were roughly 10 passenger disruptions a month globally, meaning unruly passengers on airlines that had to be forcibly removed by air marshals or police, and in some cases, international flights being turned around because of people misbehaving. So about 10 a month, roughly 120 a year. In the year 2021, the FAA released that same report. And that number had grown to 500 a year, five times the normal amount of people getting upset because they really just didn't get their way on an airplane. I think part of it is that people are tapped out. Though we may not be willing to admit it, I think every single one of us, if we're honest, we're not functioning at full capacity right now. I listened to an interview with an author who writes on spiritual health and wellness, and he suggests that over the past 3 or 4 years, we as human beings have been depleted. And because we've been depleted, we're only operating at 40, 50% of normal emotional capacity. And yet, in the last year, many of us have declared that the crisis of humanity is over. COVID is done, so let's just get back to normal. And because we've made that declaration, let's get back to normal, we've been expected to operate at 100% of capacity, but most people aren't quite there. The reason I believe that is not only because of unruly behavior on airlines, but I was at a sandwich shop near our church called Cousins. You probably have Cousins where you live, and I pulled through the drive-thru, and there was a sign on the Cousins drive-thru window that said, "We are short-staffed. Please treat our employees well." Now, in my 47 years of existence, I've never seen a sign like that on a drive-thru window. It reminded me that something is incredibly wrong. In the city that I live in, there's another restaurant called Skinny Vic's, and it's run by a skinny lady named Vic. And I went, very creative, and I went there for breakfast, and the sign on the window said, "We've closed early today because customers cannot treat our employees well." And so it begs the question, what is going on? What is happening in our world. That same author went on to state in the interview that he believes that the human soul or the human psyche has multiple layers. And the first layer of the human psyche or soul is what he calls the shallows. And the shallows are the place of, well, things that don't really matter. The shallows are the place of when we talk about what we had for breakfast, what the latest sports scores were, how the Bills will beat the Colts this year, simple things like that. And a lot of people spend a lot of time in the shallows. The second layer is what he calls the Midlands. And the Midlands are kind of the cares of life, sickness in families, unemployment, worrying about our job. And we spend some time in the cares of life, but there's a third layer to the human soul, which he simply refers to as the deep. The deep is the place of peace, like true peace, not situational peace, but true place. It's a place of joy. It's a place of hope. It's the place in which our mind goes to eternity. The psalmist writes about the deep as the innermost being. It's the place where David says, I cry out to the Lord for my innermost being. The spiritual life is the life being guided towards that innermost being. And yet, if we're honest, most people live in the shallows most of the time, in which we are consumed with things that, eternally speaking, really don't matter. And one of the manifestations of the shallows is noise, constant noise. And when we live with that much noise, which shows itself in so many different ways. Sometimes noise manifests itself in disagreements. Noise manifests itself in arguments, because nowadays everyone's an expert on everything. And because everyone's an expert on everything, there is so much division in our world. And because there's so much division in our world, it can't help but creep into the church. And division robs us of our spiritual maturity and our spiritual growth. It's to that I want to turn to the scriptures today, because the Apostle Paul and Jesus have a lot to say about division. I begin today with a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church gathered in Ephesus, and then I'm going to turn to some words given by Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 14, so I'm going to invite you to enter into the scriptures with me. I'm reading from the New International Version. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to his holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one whom he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace. He has lavished that grace upon us. With all wisdom and understanding, he has made known to us, his church, the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring to unity all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession to the praise of his glory. So now I move to John chapter 17, verses 21, 22, and 23. Jesus is praying a prayer shortly before his crucifixion. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for all who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you've sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me. Several months ago, I was standing out in the lobby of our church before our 8 a.m. worship gathering. The 8 a.m. Worship gathering at our church typically draws the more seasoned saints who like to get up early. And one of my more seasoned saints, who happens to be a friend of mine, he really doesn't have a filter. And so he just kind of says whatever he wants to me, and he often says whatever he wants to me right before I get up to speak. And so just before I'm going to speak to our 8 o'clock gathering, he looks me in the eye and he goes, you know, Pastor Mike, I just feel like there's something you want to say to us, but you're holding back. And it took me a little bit off guard, but I realized that he was right, because I tend to be a chronic people pleaser. I don't like to offend others. But there's been something that I've been wrestling with for months and months and months as I read the writings of the Apostle Paul, then also accompanied by the voice of Jesus. And so this morning, I want to share with you not only some words from Scripture, but something that's inside of me that I just can't get out. And it's not just for me, and it's not just for you, but it's for the church collectively, the big church, the capital C church, the Christian church, at least in the United States. And I've been wrestling and trying to articulate something that I've been sensing as I read particularly the letters of the Apostle Paul to the churches. Something that the Bible speaks of constantly. And so what I'm going to ask for you this morning is a little bit of grace. I don't want to come across as self-righteous nor condemning, but I hope to come across a bit honest. See, what I've been experiencing over the last couple years are two strangely competing emotions happening in me at the same time. The first emotion is the emotion of happiness and contentment. You ever been in a place in your life where you're just really content? Like, I'm just really content right now. My family is in a great place. My wife and I,